Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Florida is a killer. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
A lot of Friday fails that are very current. I think they're very close to my heart because I kind of lived through them. But I want to kick it back a couple hundred years.
You want to go old school?
I want to go the oldest. Well, not. I can't even say that. It's only the 1500s. You really caught my line.
I was a baby back then. Like,
just a baby? Yeah? Well, I want to talk about the Narvaez expedition, which I hope I'm saying right. And it was a Spanish journey of exploration and colonization that happened in 1527, and it wanted to colonize Florida, because everyone knows Florida is the most sought-after, sexy state. Florida is the crown jewel of the states.
It is like a little bit of
Indiana of the South.
It's one of the only peninsulas here, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a straight up peninsula.
Straight up. Was that a straight joke? Straits of... No? Okay.
Oh, like the straight... You're like a body of...
Straits? No. It wasn't supposed to be that.
No.
Jesus.
It's just using my urban slang.
Wow. All right. You're very urban. That's true.
That's true.
I just picture you... In my head, I'm photoshopping a Supreme hat on you. Yeah. That's urban, right?
Yeah. My mother lives in Florida. She just moved to another place in Florida. Just let you know.
Completely. Yeah. My uncle, we're just a couple of Jews who gravitate towards Florida for its climate, its balmy winters. My uncle has a place there, and he would militantly keep kosher at it, and it was not fun because you couldn't bring any fun food in, and my parents were too cheap. We go to one Cuban restaurant, and the rest was like kosher fish in the Florida cocktail.
Which is so flavorful.
Oh, God, it's great. It's great. Anyway, let's get back to 1500s Florida. The expedition to Florida was led by a guy named Panfilo de Narvaez, who died in 1528. So that's a year after it started. It's like he was out. A bunch of men died, and it was actually led by Alvar Nunez Cabeza de Vaca. And he is a crazy, colorful man. So again, it's like knock off the leader. Let's get a crazier leader in there, and let's kill everybody for the privilege of colonizing Florida. So it was a pretty crazy thing happening. Okay. So there are many expeditions at that point that happened. And also at this point, too, Spain was a big deal. Spain was just taking over all over the world, very into exploration, very into technology, very into spreading their country all over the place. And they were like, why not Florida? We know it's on a map somewhere. We know it's in the New World. Let's go. Let's send a bunch of people out. Let's check it out. We're going to send out this leader who promptly dies. But then we're going to send out Alvar Nunez Cabeza de Vaca. And he was a Spanish aristocrat, kind of like a spoiled baby Spanish man-child. And he was born in 1490. He took the title Cabeza de Vaca, meaning head of a cow, from his mother's side of the family. One of her ancestors was a shepherd named Martin Albaja. And he helped the Spanish Christians win a decisive battle against the Moors in 1212, which essentially what he did was put a cow skull on the trail. So the Christians are like, cow skull, Moors, let's get him. And his name means cow skull. So that's a part of it. A huge victory for the Christians back in the 1200s. Now, Cabeza de Vaca's grandfather was Pedro de Vera, who was the conqueror of the Canary Islands. Huge pedigree. And he was kind of a crazy sadist. He ordered the execution of all males above the age of 15. He, like, marched into the Canary Islands. He's like, oh, there's people here. All the men killed. And then the islanders, so they were hanged, impaled, decapitated, drowned. Women were parceled out to the men around town, especially the military men, and then any children that were left were just sold off as slaves. So he comes with this pedigree of pretty crazy, military, successful, brutal type of people. Did he know how to run an expedition? Absolutely
yes.
not.
Oh, oh no, okay.
no, it was no. No, the answer was no. I'm going to stop you there. No.
This is sounds like a Friday fail. I get it. Okay, yeah, you get it's it. Not going to go
you're
well.
Here, you're here. Yeah. On June 17th, okay, so wait. Cabeza de Vaca became a soldier in his teens serving the Spanish army in Italy and at home, and he was a respected veteran at like 22. He was appointed treasurer and second in command in the 1527 expedition, and again, his boss died, but he was also served as all these things as all this shit happened to these people. And it is known, this expedition, as one of the most disastrous in Spanish history and one of the most disastrous colonization efforts in the history of the world. So let's get into the fuck-up-ery of it all. On June 17, 1527, the Narvaez expedition left Spain with 5 ships and 600 men. Okay? Healthy Spaniards ready to start a new life.
And they're going
to
stay that way.
They're going to, and that's where the story ends. And oh. Everyone, good night.
It flourished and
tuck into your beds, yeah. Kiss your kids good night, and the world is a happy place. Anyway, so Cabeza de Vaca was part of it. The mission was to establish a colony in Florida, which stretched from the southern tip of modern day Florida along the Gulf Coast to the Rio de las Palmas. In mid September, the crew landed on Hispaniola, where 140 men were like, almost wiped out by a hurricane. And so they were like, we're going back to Spain. We can't deal with this. This is already bad news. So we're culling the herd. After 6 months of wandering around Florida, fighting hostile Native Americans, malaria, dysentery, the Narvaez expedition pushed to sea again, building 5 30-foot barges and heading west along the Gulf Coast towards Panuco. On November 5th and 6th, 1528, 2 barges and 80 men landed on either in Galveston, and the barges were soon lost, and almost everybody died due to cold, hunger, disease, drowning, injuries, and most famously, cannibalism among themselves, because they had no resources and they were stranded in this foreign place with nothing. And on top of that, the native people were like, what are you doing here? We're going to kill whoever we can, the rest of you, because you're not supposed to be here, and you are already inept. We can tell. Like, they can smell. You know, can you imagine being a native in America and seeing some Spaniards in, like, some crazy tight, like, outfits and padding and weird 1500s types of war coverings and being like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And they're like, we will not. And they're like, well, I guess I'm going to kill you now because you're a threat to my people. So at this point, 15 men were still alive of the 600. We're moving forward. They're wandering around America for 6 years, sidestepping native colonies who are already there. And then Cabeza de Vaca and 3 other survivors, Andres Durantes, Alonso de Castillo, and Esteban, who was Durantes' slave, a Moroccan man, were like, we're going to keep going. We will not stop. We have no men. We have no life. We've been wandering around the United States of America before it was that. Well, I guess we just go.
Normally, you'd be like, oh, I like a... like, you know, the odds stacked against you story, but not really.
Yeah.
It's just like these.
No, it's like they were like, I don't know. It's like nothing affected them. They didn't take a hint. Like, nature was like, here's a hint. We're going to kill all your men. And they're like, cool. Well, let's see what Texas has to offer. You know? So they headed towards inland, and they kind of made friends with the natives of this. But, and this was really why these 4 men survived this. They finally were like, how about instead of attacking these people or threatening them or not knowing what they're like or being complete assholes to them, we're going to learn their life. So the 4 men, including Cabeza de Vaca, they would learn how to create houses, pick fruits and nuts. They would find worms, spiders. They learned irrigation. They learned planting, farming. And they also learned the art of healing. So they learned these ancient native healing arts too and became like very adept at them, which was something that kind of threw the natives that they were on off a little bit. They were like, interesting. But that he talks a lot about it in a book that he writes later. Anyway, they became friends with Indian guides and well-wishers and almost created a kind of cult around them, around these Spaniards that were these elitist people, became part of the fabric of Native peoples in America, and then became these kind of culty gods that maybe had more healing powers than people thought, and the Natives supported them. They rallied around them. In late January 1536, they met up with a party of Spanish soldiers, finally, who were on a slaving expedition. Again, dark part of the history. Also, you don't hear slave as a verb very often. It hits you not so great, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
No, it's not good. So they met up finally with other Spanish soldiers after 7 years of wandering. And the Spanish soldiers who were there were like, who are you? And they're like, we're from this expedition. And they were like, what? They're like, yeah, we are from. And they're like, we don't believe you. Because they looked like ghosts of who they once were. And they were, again, very decked out in things that didn't feel traditionally Spanish. And then they were like, can we kill the natives that are with you? And they're like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. They're our friends now. And we heal them. We heal people around them. So they prevented the new Spanish soldiers on their slaving mission from enslaving or killing their friends. And then finally, in July 1536, the four arrived in Mexico City to heroes' welcomes, where there was already a large Spanish population at the time that wasn't already killed everyone or had been killing. So Cabeza de Vaca wrote a book about his adventures, La Relación, The Account, after he went back to Spain in 1537, and it was first a report to the king, but it was published to the public in 1542. A second, slightly revised edition came out, which combined the stories of other people with it. On one level, it was a historical anthropological document. In Texas alone, Cabeza de Vaca named and located 23 Indian groups and their clothes, language, eating habits, rituals, homes, and migrations. On another level, it was like a selfish man's memoir to his own heroism. So it kind of traverses both those things. Helpful and egomaniacal. When Cabeza de Vaca, Dorantes, Esteban, and Castillo appeared out of the desert under the Spanish slave hunters, the Spanish soldiers were speechless. Again, they talk a lot about the description of them being not of this world. They thought they were ghosts. They thought that the one expedition had been gone years and years ago. But again, this career soldier who started out as this very elitist, entitled dude, killed most of his men, became one with the early Americans, and then became this cult figure with them, and then became a hero back to the Spanish conquistadors that he came from. So we went full circle.
So he lived long enough. He just survived long enough to become
he didn't die.
Yeah.
He didn't die, and so he became all of these things. But he also helped kill other people. Like, if he were a better leader, none of this would have happened. This wouldn't even be a fail. But the fact that he killed almost like 596 people, essentially. Well, again, with a leader before him. But he's still a hero.
You're not saying he's the revisionist.
What do you mean?
Like, he's not revising his own history saying, like, oh, I'm a hero.
In his own book?
Yeah.
Why would he do that? That seems crazy. But this is a huge fail because so many people die, so needlessly, too. We talk a lot about conquistadors or, like, this period of time where a lot of different European countries are trying to colonize the world. And there's a lot of stupidity. And there's a lot of cultural insensitivity and a lot of really horrible things happening. But generally emphasizing there's a lot of stupidity and ethnocentrism involved in it. And also, you know, maybe you'll get a book deal out of it, though, if you really try.
Welcome to Florida. You know, can we welcome people to patreon.com/ghosttownpod?
Yeah, we can.
If you go and you can survive.
You get one free healing session with a guy from 1540.
Yeah, but other than that, you get two bonus episodes.
Yeah.
And there's got to be 20-something bonus episodes by now for you to check out.
20-something?
Yes, 20-something.
We got three baker's dozens in there.
Yeah. We got like, yeah.
Don't do the math.
Don't do the math. It's like 86. Yeah. And then if you want to message us, you can message us on Instagram at Ghost Town Pod.
Yeah. Or email us at ghosttownpod@gmail.com. That's kind of fun, too.
That's really fun.
If you have a lot of attachments, please email us.
That's one of my...
less so on Instagram.
That's one of my credits, is being the guy from Gmail.
You're the guy from Gmail?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I never thought I'd meet you.
Well, you did.
Do you get mad when listening to true crime? Well, so do I. If you want a weekly true crime podcast that says what you're thinking, then grab a beer and pull up a deck chair. This is Cambo from True Crime Island, another true crime podcast, and maintain the rage with me. Visit truecrimeisland.com where you can download or stream each episode. Plus, there's links to iTunes and social media. And as I always say, don't forget to delete your browser history. This is True Crime Island.